Welcome to Hope It's Here. My name is Greg Horn. I'm so glad that you joined us today. We are going to continue our sermon with Mike Bro. Yesterday was part one of it. It's a sermon he did at New Hope Church in North Carolina a couple months ago. It really blessed me as Mike shares how God can take our personal and professional failures and yet use them for his glory, and that there's always hope because of Jesus. And today he's going to share about Peter, who is a guy that obviously had some failures recently. We just remember in Easter how he denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times, and yet God used Peter as a rock to help build his church. And just a powerful, powerful story how God can use anybody with failures. Well, I hope that you'll be blessed as I was when I listened to this message a couple months ago as we listened to Mike Bro today talk about hope floats.
Man, can you relate to any of this? Man, I can. Because I think every one of us has floated in a boat called failure. Some of you might be riding in it right now and you feel sunk and you feel deflated, you feel ashamed, you feel embarrassed, and you wonder if you will ever resurface again. You're thinking, man, I have ruined everything. I've destroyed my relationship with my spouse. I've severed friendships over politics. I've gambled away my savings. My addictions have cost me my career. My kids may never speak to me again. My folks will never trust me now. Man, I have betrayed my very best friend. I have really broken God's heart. How in the world can a person like me ever resurface? Surface from my failures and find renewed hope and purpose? Is there a way to rise above my guilt and my shame and my remorse and my regret? Well, looking at the experience of Peter, I think there are at least three things that he did right, and they're the same things for any one of us who need to resurface in our life. And the first one is this. I love this. He owned his stuff. He owned it. He admitted it. And was broken by it. Look what he does. Verse 75 of Matthew 26. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Now, there's a couple of things in here. The first thing is he remembered the word Jesus had spoken. He remembered the word of the Lord. He remembered that Jesus told him, you know what? You're going to fall. Peter's thinking, you know what? Jesus was right. I was wrong. I said I'd never fall. He said I would. He was right. And I was wrong. Are you discovering that there's amazing freedom in those three words? I was wrong. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, a man or a woman who refuses to admit their mistakes can never be successful. But if they confess them and forsake them, they get another chance. And that's what Peter does. He owned it. He admitted his failure. He was broken by it. And the once proud rock was reduced to a pile of rubble, and he goes outside and he weeps bitterly over his sin. You know, I've learned there's a big difference between being broken and being miserable. I was talking to a woman after church service one time who told me about her 23-year-old son who was abusing drugs, and she told me about his journey and how he comes home and cries but then he continues to rob from her and lie and con and use. And she started crying. She said to me, my son is so broken. And I hugged her and I said, ma'am, I really do hope he gets there. But right now, honestly, he's not broken. He's just miserable. You see, you can be really sorry that you got caught. Or you can be even absolutely miserable that you're having to deal with the consequences of what you did. Or, like Peter, you can drop your pride, humble yourself, be genuinely remorseful, be broken, and ask the God of grace and somebody else for help. When you do that, that's when hope starts to rise. Peter was broken, and he owned it. There's another thing Peter does right. It's kind of subtle, kind of between the lines, but I'm telling you, it's so healthy and so wise. He stayed in the group. He stayed in the group. When we find him in the boat, he's not alone. It says in John 21 that Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, and a couple other disciples were there with him. So Peter says, hey guys, I'm going fishing. We do that, don't we? We return to whatever we knew best before the failure. And they say, well, we'll go with you. So the seven of them go out that night to fish. And they catch absolutely nothing. But at least they were hanging together. They were good friends. In fact, immediately after Peter admitted his failure and wept bitterly about it, we find him right back in the group. He's hiding out in an upper room with the rest of the guys because, you know what? Jesus was right about them too. They would all shrink back. They all would fall away that night. And now days later, Peter is back on the fishing team with these guys. He knew that all of them are really in the same boat, so to speak. And you know what? We just admitted that all of us are in the same boat too, right? I mean, it's amazing how the most of us are like the rest of us. It's why I love New Hope so much. No perfect people allowed here. And it's a wonderfully healing thing to surround yourself with good people who know that they have failures too. There's power in the group. Always stay in the group. Don't isolate yourself in your failure. Sometimes I'll run into people I haven't seen in church in a while. Say, hey, man, missed you. Where you been? Oh, I've been going through a really hard time. I go, so? Like, where you been? Now, I know that this past year has been really, really hard. But never let failure isolate you. Fight through the isolation. Stay in the group. Stay connected. A lot of people begin to think, after all I've done, there is no way I could ever show my face around there again. No, no, no. You are wrong. We're all in the same boat. Stay in the group. Well, I have no place in a worship service after the things I've done. No, no. Stay in the group. Well, I'm too embarrassed. I'm too ashamed. No, stay in the group. Well, my friends won't accept me now. Then they aren't your friends. You stay in the group. There's healing in the group. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10 says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall, oh man, they're in real trouble. I love the way the Message puts Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you're badly deceived. Gang, we all fall down. Stay in the group. One more thing that Peter does right, and I think anyone who wants to resurface and find joy and hope in real life got to do the same thing. He dove in and swam to Jesus. He dove in and swam to Jesus. Here's the scene. Peter's floating in that little fishing boat with his buddies about 100 yards offshore. It's around sunrise, and they can see this dimly lit figure standing on the beach, building like a breakfast fire. And the guy on the shore shouts out to them, hey, you guys caught any fish? Now, that's not a great question to ask fishermen, especially when they haven't caught any fish. And they say, nope, throw your net on the right side of the boat. And they do. And the nets get so full, they start to break. And John remembers the same thing happening like 3 years prior. And he yells out, it's the Lord. And before he can even get Lord out, Peter jumps overboard and he starts swimming toward Jesus. And in jumping out of that boat, I think he was saying, man, I have thought about this long enough. I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm cold. I'm hungry. I'm miserable in my self-perceived usefulness. I'm ready to let go of my failures. I want a second chance. I'm ready to leave my past behind and swim to Jesus. And man, I would love to have a picture painted of this scene where Peter's standing there ankle deep in the water, his chest is heaving from swimming so frantically, water dripping from his hair and his beard, standing there by another charcoal fire, looking through the smoke, this time to lock eyes with forgiveness. Let me remind you whose eyes Peter was looking into. Peter was looking into the same eyes of a friend he had just betrayed a few days earlier. He was looking into the eyes of a man whose forehead still bore the puncture marks from a crown of thorns. Peter was looking into the eyes of a man whose hands and feet still bore reminders of the spikes that held him to a Roman cross. Peter was looking to the eyes of the one who had died as a substitute for his sins and his failure. And on this beach, on a new day, through a new fire, he was looking into the hope-filled eyes of the resurrected Jesus. And as they lock eyes, Jesus asked him, Peter, you love me? And Peter responds, you know. You know I love you. And you know how many times Jesus asked the question? Yeah, three times. The same number of times that Peter lied about knowing Jesus around that other fire. And when Jesus asked him, do you love me? The word used there for love, when Jesus says, is agape, which is a godlike, unconditional love. But Peter responds back with the word phileo, which is like a brotherly love. And I think in saying that, Peter's going, listen, I can't love you like that. I'm not going to make the same boastful claim that I made in the, you know, outside of the upper room. I'm not capable of that kind of love that you're talking about yet. But I will love you like a brother. And I'll love you with all I got, imperfect as I might be. But yes, you know, I love you, Lord. And Jesus says, I'll take it. And since you love me, I want to use you to change the world. Peter, you might have flamed out and failed, but I died and rose so that those failures could be forgiven and forgotten. And Peter, guess what? I still believe in you. And you know what those words? Peter resurfaced, and this colossal failure became one of the greatest success stories in the history of the world. With incredible courage and humility, he helped launch the Church of Jesus Christ and spread the good news around the world. This guy who thought that God was through with him went on to become one of the biggest difference makers who ever walked this planet. New hope is here today because of men and women like this guy. Check out this scripture. We saw it just a couple of months ago. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Did you catch who wrote that? Yeah, an old fisherman named Peter who dove in and swam to Jesus, who looked into the eyes of forgiveness, who looked into the eyes of mercy, into the eyes of the God of second chances. And like me, and like so many of you, he looked into the eyes of hope. Yeah, there's a lot of things in life that are overrated. Hope's not one of them. And I just think that God may be trying to say to you today, there's hope for you. You may not believe in me, but I believe in you. And you may have given up on me, but I have not given up on you. Your failures don't have to define you. Let my love do that. In that box, oh, just get rid of that thing. And let me make you new. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a new start in life. Thanks for a clean slate. Thank you that our failures don't have to define us any longer. Thankful for the way you restore people, redeem people, turn them around. Thankful for the way you met me in my pile of failure. Continue to do so. Thank you, God, that there's no one beyond hope. There's no one that has screwed up so bad that you can't find them and redeem them and restore them and use them. Thank you for stories like Peter's who illustrate that your love never stops pursuing us. Father, thank you for new hope, and I pray that you would use all of us to bring that hope into the lives of other people, to let them see that there is a God who loves them relentlessly and fiercely. And I pray all this in the name of the one who does, Jesus. Amen.
You know, the question is not whether we're going to have failures in life, but what we do with those failures. I was fortunate enough to be in a John Maxwell book called Failing Forward, and the chapter I am was entitled, It's Not What Happens to You, But It's What Happens in You. So I hope that maybe you'll share this message by Mike Bro that we did. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today, and catch these two programs that we did. We also have the full message from New Hope Community Church. So I hope that you'll share it with a friend, and we'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Serving Central Kentucky since 2012, Gluten-Free Miracles is Lexington's locally owned healthy bakery and cafe. For those who follow a gluten-free diet, there are lots of delicious options. If you're on a paleo, keto, or vegan eating plan, then Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe is also the place for you. Need a birthday cake or anniversary cake for that special occasion? Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe can also assist you there. Conveniently located off Nicholasville Road behind Jeff's Car Wash. Visit them today or check them out online at glutenfreemiracles.com. That's glutenfreemiracles.com.